I would like to read the story of the crucifixion of Christ as we find it in Mark chapter 15. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to start with verse 21, just so that we can hear the story. I think it's really important on a night like tonight to just read the story and hear it again. And as you know, of course, Jesus has been in Jerusalem, and in this week of Passover, the tensions have heated up, and Jerusalem is just a seething cauldron of danger and of political intrigue and of religious intrigue. Jesus has been betrayed by his disciple Judas. He's been brought before the council and accused of the crime of blasphemy. His best friend Peter has denied him. And then he's been delivered to Pilate for judgment in order to be crucified, because it's only the Romans who could crucify people in that time, which they did quite a bit. It was standard operating procedure for the Romans. So Jesus was led out to be crucified after he was mocked by the soldiers. You remember that story, that they clothed him in a purple cloth and they began to mock him and salute him for being the king of the Jews, which is what he claimed to be. So I'm going to be starting from verse 21 of Mark 15, and then read through verse 39 or 40. And they, that is the soldiers, compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Younger, and of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. I wanted to just spend a few minutes briefly looking at the crucifixion of Christ, and not so much coming from the story that we read, but just coming from a couple of the sayings of Jesus on the cross. And a lot of these ideas come from a book I've been reading this week called The Seven Last Words from the Cross by Fleming Rutledge, who is one of my favorite theologians and writers. And so a lot of these ideas are coming from her. But the first thing I would like to pay attention to is words that we did read from Mark, and they're the famous words, Jesus crying with a loud voice at the ninth hour, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is the only saying, you may know there are seven sayings from the cross. This is the only saying from the cross that's reported by two different evangelists. All the other sayings only appear in one of the evangelists. This one appears in Mark and in Matthew. On the cross, Jesus voluntarily and willingly bowed his head under the power of sin and under the curse of God. Jesus gave himself with his own hand to the cross. And Jesus did that together with the Father. It wasn't the Father doing something to the Son. It was the Father and the Son operating together in deep love and in deep concern and a deep willingness to do everything that was needed to do in order to save mankind and the creation that God had made and had called good right from the beginning. The crucifixion is an enactment. It's a brief in time, but of course the meaning stretches throughout eternity. It's in time, an enactment of the worst that we are as people. It's an embodiment of the most sadistic and inhuman impulses that lie within us. It's the worst that we could do, and it's the worst that we could be. And the Son of God, Jesus, on the cross, absorbed all the evil of the world, drew it to himself. All the cruelty of the human race came to a focus in him. And on that cross, at that moment when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was taking the evil of the world upon himself. The personal sin, the communal sin, the systemic sin, the sin of empire, the sin of Satan and his devils, and death itself. Because this evil at all levels has a grip on you, and it has a grip on us that we cannot break. We are not capable, as an individual or as a community or as mankind, to break the grip of that evil. Only the power of God is greater than the power of sin. And on the cross, Christ at this particular moment has broken the power of sin and made it possible for us to be remade in spite of our worst selves again into God's image. And as I think about that and think about the time in which we're in, the time of coronavirus, the time of separation, the time of isolation, the time of distance, we find ourselves again in the grip of sin in all its forms in a very literal way. COVID-19 works in many ways, just like sin does. Sin is not just a personal problem needing God's punishment. It's a social problem needing God's protection. It's not just an individual reality requiring condemnation. It's a public reality requiring cleansing and a cure. And as we experience this COVID-19 pandemic in our time, there's no doubt that we are experiencing personal sin as we try to live with one another in the confines of our homes. If you're alone, you may not be having friction with other people, but you probably know that there's friction going on in your own heart. If you're a married couple, if you're a family, you no doubt have experienced the interpersonal frictions and your own struggling with your own relationship problems with other people. There's that very personal aspect of it, but there's also the communal aspect of sin within our families and communities. And part of the reason we're in this pandemic is because others have sinned. The very simple case is the person who doesn't take precautions and who infects another with the virus. But we're also dealing with systems, and we're dealing with empire in ways that we didn't have to before. Geopolitics and interconnectedness, governments that sometimes don't tell the truth, governments that put other interests than those of its citizens number one, injustices. Why is one person who may be honest, a hard worker, and have integrity wiped out, and another who's less squeaky clean makes a ton of money? And then, of course, there's death itself. There are people who actually die from this virus, and they suffer death. And then there are those who mourn those lost ones and can't grieve properly. On Tuesday afternoon, I did a funeral close by here. An 86-year-old woman, a grandmother, was a great lady, I understood. And there we were with this small group of 10 people standing at distance from each other, not able to hug, not able to touch, not able to grieve and mourn and be with each other in ways that we're so used to and need so badly. On the cross, Jesus took all this upon himself and broke its power. And he did that on that day and on that afternoon and in that weekend. And that is really true. The thing is, when he did it then, it didn't look like he'd done it. No one could really see that all of a sudden everything was better. And the same is true today. We're not going out of this Maundy Thursday service. We're not going out of our Good Friday remembrances tomorrow. We're not even going to come out of Sunday, Easter, and everything is going to be fixed. We're still going to be isolated on a Monday, and people are still going to get sick, and people are still going to die, and the brokenness at all levels is still going to be there. But we as Christians look back at what happened on this afternoon when Jesus cried out from the depths of his soul, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when he did that, he broke the back of the power of sin and evil. And because he did that, the Apostle Paul can write this very famous verse that I'm sure all of you know. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So whatever happens to you, whatever you go through, whatever personal sins and struggles, whatever loss, whatever systemic injustices we have to deal with, we know that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus broke the back of evil once and for all on that cross. But he did something else. Luke records that the first word that Jesus said on the cross was this one: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And John records this little piece of conversation. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Can you imagine Jesus on that cross, not asking for the forgiveness for the good and for the innocent? He prays for the people doing terrible things. He prays for the men who are committing the most sadistic act they knew to commit. To a person who was totally innocent. The greatest injustice of all time. And Jesus prays for his enemies. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it's on the basis of that forgiveness that community can be built. That the power of evil is broken. That relationship can be restored. That love, that encouragement, that caring, that peace can happen. And then Jesus, according to John, in the deepest hour, right before he died, right before he breathed his last, gave John and Mary to one another. And this, there was more happening here than that John went home and built an in-law suite for Mary. This saying is not about being nice to your mother. It's about a new community. Jesus was asking John to make Mary his own. In giving his mother to the disciple, he's causing a new relationship to come into existence that did not exist before. And Mary and John represent the way that family ties are transcended in the church by the ties of the Spirit. Jesus on the cross is not just restoring us to God, and he's not just breaking the power of sin, but as he's doing that, he's bringing a new community into being. And so another question I'd just like to ask and have you think about as you go through these days and weeks. In this time of virus and in this time of separation, is God building new community? COVID-19 yet doesn't have a cure, but it does produce antibodies. And if you have those antibodies, you're immune to the disease. And if you can give those antibodies to somebody else, they won't get it either. And the antibodies that Jesus passes out from the cross are the antibodies that keep sin away and draw us together. Again, at all levels, personal relationships, those within the four walls of our homes, our communities, our governments, our systems, our multinationals, the injustices and oppressions and racisms that we find. All of that is addressed by Christ on the cross because the back of it is broken. The back of that evil is broken. And then he calls us into community. I am not whole until you are whole. In the darkness of this Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Black Saturday, let's see Jesus taking upon himself the evil and sin of the world and breaking its back, and let us see and feel him building new community on the way to the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven with healing for all nations. Amen.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to causes me to tremble. Tremble.